Welcome to the What Matters Most podcast, presented by First United Bank and Trust. That's my bank. Visit us today at mybank.com.
Hello and welcome to What Matters Most, a podcast all about finances, community, savings, and security for you, your family, and your business. This podcast is brought to you by the helpful folks at my bank, First United Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Eric Nutter, and in today's episode, What Matters Most is our monthly economic discussion. And for this discussion, I am thankful to be joined once again remotely today by Sean McCreary, Wealth Investment Officer in First United's Wealth Management Department. Hey, Sean, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yep, I appreciate you joining me as always. And once again, we are here in another month. It's summer now. I believe, when we've started this format of the podcast, you and I started this, we've been doing this now for over a year, and we've gone through a whole pandemic, but we're now into the second summer of this. And, tell me a little bit about, things seem to be clearing up, things seem to be getting better. So as we normally do, we're going to go through the positives, the negatives, and your conclusions of the market kind of as it stands right now for June. So tell us a little bit about the positives.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been an interesting year, that's for sure. But overall, we do really think the positives outweigh the negatives. At this point, we think the recovery really continues throughout this year into next. So for positives, one of the first things we kind of look at is the jobs market, labor market. And that really continues to heal. In the May jobs report, the U.S. added 559,000 jobs in the month. Companies are eager to hire, but labor and supply shortages are holding back a recovery quicker recovery in the jobs market. Unemployment rate did slip to a pandemic low of 5.8% from 6.1%, and leisure and hospitality, kind of that those service industries, continue to add the most new jobs. Again, a good month, a little less than expected. We were kind of expecting over these last few months to be averaging probably a million jobs per month, but there's some things I think holding some people back, just fear about the virus still, some unemployment benefits that are higher than typical and might be keeping people out of looking for a job again, and then also a lot of women having dealing with childcare issues with a lot of daycares and other things not back up and going again, or schools that have different at home schedules and things like that. Definitely multitude of reasons that I think we're seeing some slower gains in the jobs report, but still positive. So good things there. The other portion of the labor market that we look at is a report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics called the JOLTS report, job openings, labor turnover. And actually the job openings, the amount of jobs that companies are looking for people to fill, is actually hitting a record high, I believe a little over 9 million here recently. So there are openings out there, but we think there's just some issues with filling those openings. But we think that'll take care of itself as we go through this year. As well, in that report, you talk about labor turnover. That's kind of one of the things we look at is the quits rate. And that is basically the people willing to quit their jobs because they see opportunity for other jobs or better paying jobs out there. And that continues to edge up, and that's a good sign. That's the sign of a healthy economy. So that's a good thing that we've been seeing recently. The next item we look at is the Institute of Supply Management. Their manufacturing and service indices they both maintained expansion territory in the month of May, both reporting exceptional growth levels above 55% level. This is a diffusion index, so it's if it's above 50%, it's showing expansion, below 50% showing contraction, showing above 55%, it's showing exceptional growth. At that 55 level is what that exceptional growth. Manufacturing rose in May, to 61.2%, which is a very, very strong number. And the service index actually climbed to a record high of 64% in May from 62.7 in April. With all the we kind of dive into these indices and look at some of the numbers that kind of make up the overall number, such as new orders, production, backlog, employment, things like that. And on both reports, seeing pretty phenomenal above 55% levels for the majority of those important inputs there. Yeah. Also seeing some numbers of customer inventories and inventories overall being too low. So again, trying to right the ship there on those supply shortages, some disruptions to supply chains that we're still trying to work through. And we think will continue to kind of heal themselves as we go through this year.
Yeah, you can really feel it when you, I mean, basically anything you really want to buy, it seems like it's delayed or it's back ordered or it's
right.
You know, everything out there is affected by that.
Right. Yeah. We're still seeing effects of that. And we'll talk here about some negatives. And one of those is inflation. And because of that, we're seeing higher levels of inflation. But we think that'll, again, also work itself out as we go through the year, open more things, and even globally as well. There's some countries still dealing with some higher levels of virus, and haven't had the kind of the vaccine rollout that we've had here. But we think those once vaccines do reach those countries, it's just kind of a delayed recovery. We still expect a recovery in around the globe, really. So and again, the last part of those indices that we kind of look at is just looking at kind of the respondents and what they're talking about for the different industries that they work in. Most are indicating good demand, solid demand, higher than Pat, or continuing to expect that demand to continue, but they are indicating harder time finding materials, workers to fill open jobs, things like that. So pretty on point with what we're hearing in other areas as well. Right. The Commerce Department, the next thing we look at is basically GDP for the first quarter. We saw first quarter, and they basically what they do is once you reach the kind of quarter after the quarter they're going to release every month, they basically release the first revision, the first edition, and then revise it a couple of times. They keep revising it going forward, but those are the kind of three publicized GDP reports. So the first for the first quarter, we're going through the kind of first revision of the initial, but it remained at the same point, 6.4% pace in the first quarter, matching prior estimates, and then it continued to kind of talk about the same things. Consumer spending revised a little bit higher, offset by stronger import growth, the government said. So looking ahead, economists kind of expect GDP will actually grow at an even higher rate for the second quarter, 8.2%. These rates are pretty phenomenal, actually, and some of the best rates we've seen kind of going back to the early 80s. So and if the expectation for the year is to be a little above 6%, and that would be the best growth since the early 80s. So wow. It's obviously you're pretty easy comparisons looking at last year, but still pretty impressive growth that we expect to see throughout the rest of this year. Next thing we look at is earnings, earnings for the S&P 500 companies in the first quarter of 2021. We've had basically majority of companies report a little over 90%. Companies are reporting actually have all the or 90% of those reported earnings have actually come above analyst expectations. And that's a pretty impressive number compared to a long-term average, about 65% outperforming expectations, and the prior four quarters seeing 76% above expectations. So again, strong earnings, and those earnings in the first quarter actually increased at a 50.6% pace. So very, very strong levels there. And we saw good revenue growth as well, and well into the double digits for revenue growth as well. So seeing very good earnings, and we actually expect the to possibly even look even better in the second quarter against even easier comparisons versus last year. So good things in earnings. We expect that to really continue. What's been pretty impressive is many were expecting margins to start to actually come down somewhat since some of these cost pressures are starting to peak up, but margins continue to show record levels. So that's been something that we expect to watch going forward, but good news over this last quarter. So good news there. The last thing, the thing that kind of affects GDP somewhat the most is we've actually seen a trade deficit. We expect a trade deficit to widen a little further this year, given stronger U.S. economic growth compared to trading partners, and actually suggests that trade will have a more positive contribution to second quarter GDP than first quarter. So that's another thing we're kind of looking at. The trade deficit did narrow about 8.2% to $68.9 billion in April, but again, that's something we kind of keep track of every so often, and it's something that can definitely help GDP, and something you don't always think about, just the trade, whether goods that we import versus the amount of goods we're exporting can make a big difference.
Right. So lots of positives, lots of good things happening. The economy is doing very well, very healthy. A lot of bouncing back. So are there negatives to speak of?
Yeah, definitely fewer, but there's still negatives that we're kind of keeping track of. Obviously, kind of one of the biggest is still remains one of the things that we think will continue to affect the level of economic growth over the next 12, 24 months is kind of the path of COVID-19 virus. U.S. expects to meet its goal of 70% of Americans receiving at least one dose of the COVID vaccine by July 4th. And we see daily cases, deaths, hospitalizations continue to fall at a very rapid clip. And in the U.S., anyone over the age of 12 can actually be vaccinated now. And I think I just saw this morning, actually, Moderna got their approval for being able to... being able to vaccinate teenagers as well. But as this is kind of ticked lower in the U.S., we are actually seeing overall cases around the globe tick up somewhat, unfortunately. Seeing big spikes in India, some of the Southeast Asian countries, which actually did fairly well at the beginning, starting to see higher cases recently. Even China seeing some outbreaks here recently. But our base case kind of continues, even if globally we still see some cases ticking up here, we expect eventually, as vaccines again continue to be distributed, we expect the recovery to really continue, even though it might be delayed globally somewhat. We've seen continue to see good levels in the U.S. and many of the developed global international countries, meaning good news and better economic growth as we go through 2021 and into 2022. Mm-hmm. So good things there. The other thing, not all parts of the labor market look good right now. the thing that we kind of talk about is somewhat of the negatives, initial jobless claims. They did drop below 400,000 in late May for the first time during the coronavirus pandemic in the week ended May 29th. That still is double the level that we were at pre-pandemic. We were running kind of around that 200,000 level. And really the number that's important to kind of get below is the 300,000 level. It's kind of that level that says, hey, you're starting to see good times. This is kind of the average time you amount you expect to see for just a healthy labor market, that 300,000 level. Once you get below that, then that means you're starting to make gains on truly make gains on keeping everyone employed and expanding the labor market. So good things there. I mean, obviously that's come down by a lot, but still we want to see that continuing to move lower, and we expect it still will. And then the other next two things, valuations in bonds and stocks, obviously, I mean, even though they've crept up some, over this year, interest rates are still basically at historically low levels and have actually been coming down somewhat. And with current inflation rates, real rates are still negative. And by most conventional metrics, stocks are definitely elevated, expensive relative to their own history. And so we continue to kind of proceed with caution on both those fronts in portfolios, more towards neutral levels, very diversified in portfolios, and want to kind of make sure we have those assets that are kind of going up when others are going down, to make sure we're very well diversified and trying to lower volatility in portfolios at all times. And then the other thing, inflation has kind of been the thing that everyone's talking about and really kind of cast a shadow over the U.S. Recovery, as Americans are really paying higher prices for a variety of goods and services. Inflation over the year ended in April, increased about 4.2% as measured by the CPI, pace higher than expectations were showing. And we continue to think, though we really kind of continue to think inflation will be a cyclical phenomenon, not structural in nature, economies meeting, and what Jay Powell and the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank, their open market committee has kind of continued to think, and many economists have said this as well, as they expect these inflation pressures to be fairly transitory, because we're comparing back to last year's levels, which were actually showing deflationary pressures at the time when we were closing up, basically shut down the entire economy to keep people at home and as safe as possible. So we think that once we get past those comparisons, start to compare to how things look this year, I think and even in some of the commodities, such as like timber and things like that, we're starting to see stuff back down a little bit from peaks. So we expect as we work through things, get the labor market, open back up and continuing to see healing there, that we'll see better things as we go through the rest of this year and into next year, and won't have kind of that runaway inflation saw in the 70s and 80s that a lot of people kind of remember and definitely fear and can have some negative effects on financial markets.
Right. It's that the memory of the past that makes them fearful for potentially that happening again. Yeah. So Sean, wrapping up, what are any overall conclusions or feelings right now in June with the market?
Yeah, I mean, overall, the economy definitely grew at a faster rate in April and May than earlier in the year, and we expect the GDP reports, once they come for the second quarter, to show that. And then that's kind of indicated by the Federal Reserve's their latest Beige Book report, which kind of goes in and actually is the Fed actually going out and really meeting with their multiple different reserve banks across the country and with consumers and people people that they lend to and asking them how things are going, and definitely seeing that better growth at a faster rate. And even, I mean, just kind of small indicators here and there. You go around towns and go to bigger cities, you start to see a lot more activity, and definitely feeling like it's much more normal times than it was last year. And consumer spending, I mean, it's those numbers are really showing that pickup as a result of increased vaccination rates and lower COVID case rates. Manufacturing activity increased despite notable supply chain challenges, but they're still seeing that demand. So we think eventually everything will kind of flow through. Now, those inflation pressures kind of continue to build as both input and selling prices moved higher. But we think, again, it'll be transitory. It likely won't last past this year. But that is something that we continue to kind of, and continue to kind of shield our portfolios with, and have added some assets that can kind of protect portfolios from those higher levels of inflation. But in portfolios, we remain cautiously optimistic. We're still modestly overweight equities, but focusing on kind of the more cyclical assets, we call it, instead of the reopening trade. Now we're kind of in what we call a reflation trade, and you're kind of tilting the portfolio to a little higher quality parts of that, those cyclical assets, more of those larger companies that can kind of deal with margin pressures, such as that inflation can kind of cause, and higher labor and input costs can cause over the next few months. I would say increasing quality in portfolios is kind of how I would frame it. And then fixed income market, again, we've seen the 10-year treasury. It rose to a high of right around 1.7577% in early March. And has actually kind of come down somewhat from that. And as the Fed has really reaffirmed their dovish stance for the time being, and we've seen some weaker than expected those job reports, that I think that will allow the Fed, the FOMC, the Fed to be more dovish and kind of have some continued easy monetary policy for longer than some expected they would. So again, their focus is having substantial progress on that employment, getting the overall employment rate down. And they've even talked about a little bit getting into kind of the weeds of those unemployment reports and making sure this recovery is bringing everyone along. So again, very easy monetary policy for as long as they think necessary. And then their other goal is keeping inflation around that 2% level. But they've even talked about, because prior to the pandemic, it was below 2% for so long, that they'll be a few months of being over 2%. They won't start raising rates and then cutting off growth to the economy. They want to be patient and see that is a more sustainable level of inflation. You want to see a little inflation in a healthy economy, right? But just not too much. So again, we expect for them to start talking about some possible tapering probably in the third to fourth quarter of this year, and kind of unwinding some of their balance sheet and probably most likely the second half of next year. But there can be some volatility once they even start talking about doing some of that. So something we'll be keeping an eye on and watching for that could cause some higher rates and some bond prices to fall. But in portfolios, again, we're keeping duration on a little bit lower level, the maturities of our bonds at a shorter level to kind of protect from that. But we still see very low default rates for this year, as the economy is should be very healthy for this year, and to continue to see businesses and consumers with very healthy cash levels.
Excellent. Sean McCreary, Wealth Investment Officer in First United's Wealth Management Department. Sean, thank you so much for joining me again, as always, this month to tell us about the markets. And if anyone has any questions or wants to learn more, what's the best way they can get the support they need?
I would say the best way is to go to our website, mybank.com, and go to the wealth area, and you should be able to see some numbers there, and then be able to see some of our team members that most likely are in your area that you can you can reach out to.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.
That brings us to the end of our show. You can always find more episodes by visiting mybank.com/podcast or find us on your favorite podcast app. You can also leave feedback, ask questions, or request a topic for us to discuss by sending an email to podcast@mybank.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with more helpful content. But until then, we wish you the best in focusing on what matters most to you.
First United, my bank for life.
This document is a general communication being provided for informational purposes only. It is educational in nature and not designed to be taken as advice or a recommendation for any specific investment product, strategy, plan, feature, or other purpose in any jurisdiction, nor is it a commitment from First United Bank and Trust or any of its subsidiaries to participate in any of the transactions mentioned herein. Any examples are generic, hypothetical, and for illustration purposes only. This material does not contain sufficient information to support an investment decision and should not be relied upon in evaluating the merits of investing in any securities or products. In addition, users should make independent assessment of the legal, regulatory, credit, and accounting implications and determine together with their own professional advisors if any investment mentioned herein is believed to be suitable to their personal goals. Investors should ensure that they obtain all available relevant information before making any investment. Any forecasts, figures, opinions, or investment techniques and strategies set out are for information purposes only, based on certain assumptions and current market conditions, and are subject to change without prior notice. All information presented herein is considered to be accurate at the time of production, but no warranty of accuracy is given, and no liability in respect of any error or omission is accepted. It should be noted that investment involves risks. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate in accordance with market conditions and taxation agreements, and investors may not get back the full amount invested. Both past performance and yields are not reliable indicators of current and future results.